Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Do you believe in miracles? That was the question the Jerusalem Post asked Moshe Dayan after the Six Days War. You see, the Post was aware of many kinds of stories that had come out from people that suggested that God had really been on their side in a real, tangible way. There was a story that Jerusalem Post recorded that showed that there were a few Israeli tanks in this gorge, and they were waiting for the entire Egyptian army to come down upon them. It looked for all the world like they would be run over by the Egyptian forces. And yet the Egyptian tanks stopped. And then they got out of their tanks and they raised their hands and surrendered to the few people that were there from the Israeli side. The reason was very easily explained, because the Israelis asked the Egyptians later why they had surrendered, and they said, "What are you talking about? We saw all of those magnificent, shiny tanks that you had on the ridges over us. And we knew we would be destroyed. We gave up simply because you outnumbered us." Except that there weren't any tanks on the ridges above. The only things the people saw were the angelic host surrounding the Israeli army. And so they ask Moshe Dayan, "Do you believe in miracles?" Moshe Dayan, you may remember, is a man who had a patch over his eye, looked like a real general, the kind of general that goes to war and always brings back the prisoners. And he paused for a moment and he said, "No. No. We don't believe in miracles. We live by miracles." Do you believe in miracles? It really depends on your worldview. You know, a worldview is a set of beliefs or principles through which you filter everything that comes to you from the world. It's kind of like a software program running constantly in your head. Everything you see, you filter through, and you decide based on that whether or not it's right or wrong, whether you accept it or reject it. It is something in the way you filter information. Now, your worldview, therefore, can really determine beforehand how you respond to the miraculous. Your worldview may be false. You may be a yellow dog, Democrat, Republican, or independent, or Tea Party, or socialist, or communist, or whatever, you're a yellow dog. And a yellow dog just simply means that you'll vote for a yellow dog as long as he's in the right party. If you take that position, you're wrong, because you've left no place for God to direct you to the one who will really be His chosen person. You see, that's the way it is. You vote for the God who you choose, who your worldview encompasses. You know, a drug addict has a completely different worldview than someone who's not hooked on drugs. They have a view that says something is right and something is wrong based on their worldview. They've filtered everything through it, and they've decided what's right for them, what's wrong for them. So, you know that they have a different worldview than most of the people who are sitting in the sound of my voice. At one time, there was a worldview that the world was flat. All the scientists held that view. The world was flat. That was their worldview. It was flat. So Christopher Columbus, who had read the Bible and said that the world was hung suspended like an orb, he decided to believe the Bible and not the worldview, and he proved that the flat world society was wrong. There was in my life various times when a worldview has filtered out the things that they wanted to filter out and determined the things that they wanted to sell. For instance, when I was a young man, the thing that we worried about was that we were getting ready to enter the next ice age. I mean, that was serious business. Some of you are old enough to remember that. They even made movies about the last day, and there was a frozen New York, and everything was frozen up because we were getting ready to enter a very cold time. Today, people think that there is global warming with the same enthusiasm that the people who had the worldview earlier in my life that the world was entering an ice age. I remember that there was a huge ozone hole, and people said, this is the end, this is going to be the end, and it's going to continue to expand, and we're going to this and that and the other. Well, you never hear about that anymore because the ozone layer no longer has a hole in it. I remember Jacques Cousteau, famous French explorer, really, of the underworld of the sea. And he said that by the year 2000, there wouldn't be anything living in the sea. It would be terrible because there would be starvation around the world because you couldn't get a fish out of the sea. That was his worldview. It was wrong. It was a wrong worldview. Unless you have a worldview that is centered on the Scriptures, it's a false worldview. Now, there are people that, like us, are sitting in churches today who have different worldviews than we have. We call them denominations. There are some worldviews that, believe it or not, do not believe that God does miracles anymore. He doesn't. He doesn't answer prayers. He doesn't do these things. He's just stopped doing it. He's not the same today as he was 2,000 years ago. There are some who believe that in their worldview that the communion is different. There are some that believe that salvation is group therapy. There are some that believe a lot of things. Unless you have the correct worldview, you have a false worldview. The filters that allow things to come to you to make a choice on are not clean. You don't have a real worldview. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to accept what you would tell us today about our own personal worldview. Perhaps we have a worldview that is part of this and part of that. We've cobbled together lots of different worldviews, and we think that we are a yellow dog this and a yellow dog that, and we're at each other's throat all the time because of our worldview. Let us have Jesus' worldview today, and may it grow in us, and may it change us and transform us. May none of us receive the worldview that I would speak of that is of me, because that worldview is blind. Give us your worldview, Father. Cast out everything that I would say that would lead anyone here to any other worldview but yours. May we see the world as you see it. May we hear its cries as you hear them. May we touch it and heal it with your hands. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Could you turn with me to Mark 12:18? I'm going to read 12:18 through 24. I'll set this up a little bit. The Sadducees were coming to Jesus to ask him a question. It was a trick question. They thought they had this down pat. They thought they could fool Jesus. Then some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him and they asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. The second took her. He died. Nor did he leave any offspring, and the third likewise, so that seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife." Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the Scriptures, nor the power of God?" It was very difficult for the Sadducees to hear Jesus, to see what others saw, because their worldview precluded everything he did. They had to conclude that everything he did was false. They didn't understand who he really was. And so the Sadducees, who were very powerful people. I mean, they ran the temple. They were the Levites, the people who God had set aside to run the temple. And they ran the temple, and they did all the sacrifices, and they had all the exterior kinds of things that you would expect a religious person to have. The only thing they didn't have was they didn't have a view of our living God. They had a view of a God who would not do miracles. And so they didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in anything supernatural. They didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. They didn't believe in anything. They were Sadducees. They believed, like the Epicureans, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. They believed that you had to get it now, or you would never have it. There was no evidence of anything after this life. There was no evidence of anything that you and I might consider tangible. They had a worldview that precluded all of that, that shut everything out of that. And so they ruled that Jesus must be a charlatan. Jesus must be something other than he said he was. Because they didn't believe it. I mean, they were the ones who knew about the law, after all. I mean, they sat in the temple. These are the very ones that Jesus cast out of the temple because they sold things there that were not worthy of prayer. You remember Jesus came into the temple and he tied the rope into knots and then he whipped them out? He whipped them out, he said, "Because you have turned my Father's house, which is to be a house of prayer, into a den of iniquity." That's what the Sadducees did. They didn't care. They didn't care when their high priest was appointed by the Romans. They didn't turn a fuss. The people there did. The people who were against that kind of thing and that kind of influence did. But the Sadducees saw things through their own world view. If you ask them the question, "Do you believe in miracles?" their answer would be, "No, we do not believe in the intervention of God." C.S. Lewis said that in our modern society, that anything that we wanted to do was predicated on our worldview. And he said that you could talk about religion, you could talk about a God like the guy upstairs, as long as it was abstract. You could talk about a God who was ethereal and who may have died and left us here going, and you know, who wasn't a part of our lives anymore. You could talk about all those kind of things. As a matter of fact, Jean-Paul Sartre, who is a Frenchman, an atheistic existentialist, who wrote plays of one I starred in, which called Orestes, and it was in The Flies. And Orestes at one point says to Zeus, who represents God, he said, "Who are you? You're God. I am free. We shall pass by each other like two ships in the night without touching." That was his view. That was his world view. Until he was on his deathbed. He went off into a coma, and then he came back and he screamed and hollered. He said, "Oh no, it's real, it's real!" He had made a mistake. His whole life was predicated on a falsehood. He didn't understand until it came to the moment of his judgment. But these kinds of Sadducees are easy to find. They're easy to find in the church today. They're easy to find in the marketplace. They're easy to find in the culture. As a matter of fact, if you want to see one, just take off their Sadducee robes and put them in a designer suit. Take away their scroll and give them a cell phone. Take them out of the temple and put them right here in the church or any place. And they may seem bright and intelligent, but they're blind as bats because they do not see the Scriptures for what they are, nor do they know the living God. They don't know. They have a form of religion, but they deny the power thereof. They're successful people. They have sharp minds and blind eyes. Jesus tells the Sadducees in verse 24 directly. He says, "Are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God?" Well, of course they knew the Scriptures, the ones that they kind of shopped for in the aisle that I talked about last week, and walked down the aisle. They picked the ones they liked. They thought they knew the Scriptures. Their worldview encompassed the Scriptures. They didn't understand the Scriptures. They didn't understand them clearly. And they didn't understand the living God. But the Sadducees believed in a God. It was just not a God of the Bible. It was not a God that could do miracles or divine interventions of any kind. It wasn't a God with angels. It wasn't a God who overcame evil. It wasn't a God of any kind of thing. It was kind of God that a lot of people have today. A God that doesn't care about what you say. As long as he doesn't intervene with what you do. You know, sometimes in rebellion, each of us embraces that kind of a God for a while. The toothless God who doesn't really care about what we're doing, who doesn't really focus on me, who doesn't really have a purpose for me. I'm too old for God to have a purpose. No, you're not. I'm too young for God to have a purpose. No, you're not. I'm too weak. I'm too strong. I'm too this. I'm too that. No, you're not. God has a purpose for your life, for every life. But sometimes we build our life on the wrong things. We reject the power of God. The Sadducees believed in a God that could not, would not intervene in the lives of men. You could speak of your God any way you wanted to, but he was not a God who was actively engaged in your life. Not a God who was actively engaged in the life of men. C.S. Lewis talked about Christianity, and he talked about people who had a form of religion but denied the power thereof. He said, these people can listen to anything, hear anything, through the sphere of their own worldview, and they reject only that which is personal. You see, an abstract God is easy to accept. A personal God who looks at you and commands you to do things and asks you to get out of your comfort zone and to get into the palm of his hand, that is a different thing altogether. That's precisely where thousands of people are today. They say they believe in God, but it's not the God of the Bible. They reject their God's purpose for their lives. They reject His way of using us to do His will. The reason that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection was, first, that they didn't understand the teachings of the Bible, and second, they did not know the God of the Bible. They just didn't know. They didn't know a God who personally. So, they didn't know a God who is holy. They didn't know a God who is just, who is loving. Sadducees did not understand His great love. They didn't understand it. They couldn't comprehend it because it was not of this world. They just couldn't get it. But when you do understand God's love, then miracles aren't so strange at all, because you understand that God loves you. What is a miracle? The definition of a miracle in the dictionary is a divine intervention of God in the lives of men. God knows us, and He intervenes in our lives. He intervenes in the lives of people and takes out cancer out of their body. He intervenes in the lives of people, touches people, He heals people, He responds to the prayers and the petitions of His people. He is a personal God. That's why we pray. We pray believing that He will intervene in our lives. Why do you pray for other people if you do not believe that God is active in people's lives? We had people here this last week who sent out prayer requests because they were concerned for the people in their lives, whether it was their son-in-law, whether it was their daughter, whether it was their daughter-in-law, whoever it was, they had concerns, and they believed that God would intervene. God does intervene in our lives. He does so in protection. We feel His protection. We understand the peace that passes understanding because of His protection. We understand that whatever comes against us, God is for us, and if God is for us, who can be against us? We understand that. Second, He intervenes when we need provision. He never lets His people go hungry. He always provides. He's always there for us. He is the one who gives us every good and perfect thing. He's the one that our hearts are blessed with the assurance that He knows what we need. And third, He intervenes in us by His giving us His presence. Wow, what a wonderful thing it is to know that God is in me, that He cares enough for me to make His temple in me. What? When I hear words of Jesus saying, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you," they're a comfort to me, because no matter what I'm going through, I know that He is there with me. Jesus is a guide, and He will guide us in the direction that God wants us to go. He loves us. You know, we know about God's love in many ways. One of the things we celebrate today is St. Valentine's Day. St. Valentine was a person who knew God's love. Now, he wasn't St. Valentine's at the time when this story unfolds, the real story of Valentine, which was picked up by Hallmark cards and used as a money-making thing. You know, they sell everybody through guilt, everything. Now, that's not the real Valentine. The real Valentine was a priest in the first century. And he was on the Roman road, the Roman way, the Appian way to Rome. And he understood God's love and forgiveness and mercy and kindness. He understood the God, the living God of the Bible. And so he wanted to share that love with everybody. And he shared it with people until one day the Romans decided, hey, listen, this guy is undermining the Roman authority. He's doing things that we don't approve of. Let's cast him in prison. So Valentine went to prison. While he was there, he won the jailer to Christ. Not only the jailer, but his family as well. And for that crime, Valentine was beaten and beheaded. He laid down his life for his friends. His love motivated him. He was intensely aware of the presence of God. And when they cut off his head, he was instantly in the presence of God. We who believe will see him one day. We'll see Valentine. He'll remind us that we spent all of our money on Hallmark and not any money with God. But that's the way we do things. But we will see him one day and we'll realize that the God of the Bible, the God of power and of love, that the Sadducees missed, is there for each of us. We realize that God's gift of love is for everyone, for me and for you. It's here for the asking. God provides a little of his love when he intervenes in our love with every good and perfect thing that we receive. Today, have you counted your blessings? Have you understood that God has given you everything you have? Whatever that is, however small, however great, he has created it and given you the possibility of being content with what he's given you. God provides his love when he intervenes in our life. And so we have to answer the question. Do you believe in miracles as an abstract notion? Or as Moshe Dayan says, no, we live by miracles. That is the question. The question here on Valentine's Day is, do we share the DNA of Jesus? Do we love the world? Do we see it with his eyes? Do we hear it with his ears? It's cries, it's pain, it's loneliness. Do we touch it with his hands, with the healing that only compassionate people can bring? Do we serve him? Are we obedient to him? Have we sold out to him? That's the worldview that each of us wants to have. That's the worldview that God wants you to have. Jesus said to the Sadducees, you do not know the Scriptures. Maybe you've got your own private interpretation of the Scriptures. The Bible says that no one should do that. Maybe you do not know the living God. You've known an abstract God. This is the opportunity for us to let God know that he is the Lord of our lives.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.